Welcome back. You're listening to Public Forum on Rhode Island Public Radio. We're doing it in concert with Brown University's Taubman Center. Joining me to discuss the Pawtucket Red Sox is Boston Red Sox senior executive Charles Steinberg, architect and urban planner Jack Robbins, and sports economist Victor Matheson. The Paw Sox current home, McCoy Stadium in Pawtucket, is known for cheap ticket prices and family-friendly entertainment. Yet despite that, attendance has been declining at McCoy for a number of years, and the Paw Sox say they need a new ballpark to attract more fans. Victor Matheson, is that a compelling argument? What is your explanation for why attendance has been waning at McCoy Stadium? And if the Paw Sox get a new ballpark, will that be a sustainable way of boosting attendance?
Well, so what I would say is if the Paw Sox say they need a new stadium, I think that's probably the incorrect word. The Paw Sox want a new stadium, and we do have lots of evidence to suggest that a new stadium would, in fact, increase attendance for roughly a decade. There's a honeymoon period for new minor league ballparks that are built about 10 years, and it also allows folks to not only sell more tickets, but also increase the prices of those tickets that are sold. So again, by experience, we'd see ticket prices go up by a couple bucks and attendance go up by several thousand. It is true that McCoy Stadium is in fact the oldest stadium in all of AAA or AA baseball, built in 1942. When it opened, it was the most expensive baseball stadium built in the United States. So there is no doubt that there are all sorts of reasons to say, you know, this is an older stadium. It doesn't generate the revenue that the team would like. And I fully encourage the team to go out and look for any opportunity to spend their own money building a stadium anywhere that they would like.
Thank you. Okay, let's get back to the discussion here. Dr. Charles Steinberg, the Red Sox play at Fenway Park. It was built in 1912. It's 103 years old by my poor arithmetic. What is prohibitive about keeping the Paw Sox at McCoy Stadium? And why would it, the team says it would cost $65 million to renovate it. Why would it cost so much money?
Those are a few questions, but let me tell you what I know. When we came to Boston in 2002, we had been in Baltimore with Camden Yards. We'd been in San Diego with what later became Petco Park. And I'm a little bit slow. I said to Larry Lucchino, are we going to try to build a new ballpark in Boston? He goes, no, have you learned nothing? You don't destroy the Mona Lisa. You protect the Mona Lisa. And the idiosyncratic nature and the joy and the beauty and the angles and the intimacy of the seats, everything about the Green Monster of Fenway Park was such an inspiration to him. It was one of the great inspirations for Camden Yards. There was a second dimension, and that was that Fenway Park does open to its neighborhood, does open to its community. And the owners invested heavily, ultimately $285 million of their private money over a 10-year period. But it was after that third year of innovations, of renovations, of improvements, it was March 23rd, I believe, of 2005, that they declared, we now believe that Fenway can survive. And upon that declaration, you saw private investment in the Fenway neighborhood that has me renting the apartment I rent, that has restaurants and apartments and condominiums that have reinvigorated and revitalized that area. So the setting of Fenway Park was part of the degree to which it was a jewel unto itself. What I think you've seen is that in Pawtucket, you have McCoy, which I was there last night. I love going down, and it is like my memorial stadium of my childhood. It's set in a residential neighborhood. I wouldn't say that it has been a catalyst for commercial development in its area. There is a restaurant across the street, but a new ballpark would do more for an area if it opens up to the ballpark. That opens up to the neighborhood.
There has been a generally negative reaction to at least the Paw Sox initial proposal, and I'd like to read you part of an email that we got from a listener named Mike, and his view seems typical of many of the critics of the Paw Sox proposal. He says making a wise choice about the use of the I-195 land is critical to the long-term future of Providence. Building a stadium seems unwise on so many levels, yet I fear a decision that benefits the few at the expense of the many. And Mike says that he thinks a stadium will mainly create low-paying seasonal jobs while eliminating the public park plan for the site. I know that's a lot to chew on, but how would you respond?
Well, there were some things in there that I agreed with, but what I would suggest to you is this. I don't know that I'm aware of what is an independent magnet that draws people to it year-round, especially day and night, in partnership with other businesses the way a ballpark does. I'm not sure what does that more than a ballpark. The jobs are real. You may have some wages that are modest, but you're going to have wages that are thoroughly livable, too. This is what you have found. When the ballpark is well-designed, when it is well-located, and it does become a catalyst for redevelopment, and we talked about San Diego. I remember there was a Dodgers-Padres telecast, and Vin Scully from Petco Park was looking through the cameras at what was going on around, and he said, they're building condominiums in this neighborhood like they just invented the concept. So it becomes a full-fledged, real, beautiful neighborhood. And that's what a parcel of land like this apparently can do. And it's up for discussion. And that's why this is really the beginning. This is the beginning of the discussion. But I don't know if I addressed all of his comments. But I don't know that I've seen what works better than a ballpark well done to bring that kind of life in partnership with hospitals and with businesses, and that which gives it a day and night vitality.
Now, recently there was a early stage proposal for a life sciences complex on part of another parcel, part of the 195 land. Victor Matheson, what is your view of whether a ballpark would really, is there an argument to be made for the power of place, the kind of thing that Charles Steinberg is saying, that there's something distinctive and poetic about baseball on the riverfront in Providence, that it would be an attraction and help to raise Providence's stature? What do you make of that argument?
Well, there's certainly no doubt that this would be a very nice place for a ballpark. I think I would certainly enjoy going to a game there. But the real question is, should taxpayers be expected to pay for my enjoyment, or should I be paying for that ticket myself? Again, same thing with the owners. I think this would be a great place to make a lot of money selling me a nice ticket and a hot dog and a beer. But the question is whether the taxpayers should be subsidizing that business transaction between me and the Sox.
Jack Robbins, what do you say about a ballpark nonetheless would take some of the land that has otherwise been envisioned as a public park, and there's some critics of the Paw Sox proposal who are upset about that. How do you sketch out the difference in public value between a ballpark and a more traditional green park?
I think that there are two issues. One is a question of size, and is the park that would be built with the stadium large enough for the kind of growth and development that is envisioned and desired around it? And the other is programming. The numbers that I've heard of, $2 million to $4 million a year from the state, if you put that kind of money towards programming in a park, could you attract crowds? Maybe not as much as baseball, but could you? You could make that a really excellent world-class park.
And let's toss it back to Victor Matheson. We know you're a critic of public subsidies for ballparks. Where do you draw the line between where do you define the line for what would be a fair deal both for the Paw Sox and for the taxpayers of Rhode Island? Is any subsidy, would any subsidy justify the benefits of this project?
Yeah, so I'll point back again to the Patriots. Patriots Place is, in fact, a privately built stadium with lots of public money put in to make sure that there's adequate infrastructure to have people get there. So there is no doubt if a decision is made that the team wants to go ahead with a new ballpark in this area, that again, they're building themselves. Rhode Island should do everything they can to make it easy for businesses to do their business. They should make it easy for people to get to your businesses. That's what government is for, is to make it easy for businesses and customers to come together. So I wouldn't have any problems whatsoever with significant public money going into infrastructure, making sure there's adequate road, public transportation access there, and certainly making it so that there's this nice park space around this. And, you know, I'm personally not particularly concerned about the loss of parkland, because there are some nice pieces, just like Charles says, where you can combine some public space along with a private space. But again, I think that stadium itself, that should be money that they're spending their own money on that stadium.
Let's touch briefly on parking. The Paw Sox say with plans for two nearby garages and public parking spaces, there would be more than adequate parking for people coming to Paw Sox games in the evening on weekends. But that there tends to be some skepticism about that view in Rhode Island. There are some roads are blocked off for water fire, and we get a little cranky when we can't find a parking space in Rhode Island. What can you say to assure people that there is, in fact, enough parking if this idea goes forward?
I think that what I've heard so far anecdotally from a lot of folks in Rhode Island is they want to use their cars, and they want to drive their cars, and they want to park their cars. And I've heard that there would be about 13,000 spaces, which would be enough in the surrounding area. But there's another part to this, and I've been told that some people are worried about, well, what about that out-of-town traffic that comes in? And today, I took the train down from Boston. Yesterday, I took the train down. And this location holds promise for so many people from outside of Rhode Island. I don't know if that's good news, but if for tourism, it's good news, to come in to Providence. And it is so easy to just come in and get off that train, and you're going to walk to the park. And it's a new way to do it. I came from a city where we said, we're going to drive our cars. And when Larry Lucchino wanted Camden Yards to be downtown, I said, look, you know, my parents are both gone now, but my parents were around then. I said, my parents aren't going to take a trolley downtown. They're not going to take a train. Streetcars went out in 1947. Well, sure enough, they did, because it was the easier way to go. When mom and dad are packing up the kids, and you got to pack up the SUV, and you're worried about where you're going to park, and what happens if I want to leave early, and how am I going to get to the car? And if instead you can hop on the train and get off and walk, and you're at the park, what we have found with the new commuter rail stops that bring you right to Fenway Park, it's easier for families. You still have the parking spaces, but not everybody has to use the parking spaces.
Jack Robbins,
if I could comment on that. I think that actually, you know, for those of you in the audience here can see there's a large parking garage shown right next to the stadium. And I would actually be very concerned about that, because that means that someone can drive in, go from the parking garage to the stadium, go from the stadium back to the parking garage, and never spend any additional money, not walk around the city. I would actually put all the parking two or three blocks away. I know from the studies that I've done of the Julia District, there's actually lots of space for parking not right next to the stadium.
Victor Matheson, you've talked about how where the Chicago White Sox play keeps fans in and keeps the spending in. Do you think a Paw Sox ballpark in downtown Providence would spread spending through a wider area, or would it retain spending within and close to the ballpark?
Well, so the one of the problems with the nicer and nicer stadiums we're having all through both the major leagues and the minor leagues is all of the offerings you can get there. And, of course, that's great for a team owner, because you can offer lots of things to your fans when they get in, but it also offers less opportunities for the surrounding area. And, again, if you're the Chicago Cubs, you're not in the business of trying to develop that neighborhood around you. You're in the business of selling that beer to that fan inside the stadium rather than outside. And so sometimes neighborhoods and teams are actually cross purposes in these ways.
We need to take a quick break coming up, a look at the impact of the public backlash against the Paw Sox initial proposal. I'm Ian Donis. You're listening to a public forum on Rhode Island Public Radio. We're discussing the future of the Pawtucket Red Sox, and we're recording in front of a live audience here at Brown University's Taubman Center.